Enjoy it, and some of you don't. And you have been in, you have seen on television different ball games, you know, where they have the kiss cam, you know. We might come up with a sing cam, and just when you least expect it, you'll see somebody's face. Or you might see somebody singing as unto the Lord. But our worship is so valuable this morning, and I'm teasing a little bit, but it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. We invite your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we began a series last Sunday, What a Fellowship, and we are looking at the Bible word that is the Greek word in the Scriptures in the New Testament is the word koinonia. Koinonia. It basically means to share with, to have in common with. Christian context, fellowship is such a powerful word. And we reminded you last week that fellowship is based, Christian fellowship, biblical fellowship, is based on a common relationship with Christ. And so what I want to do today is I want us to kind of focus on that relationship with Christ. Years ago, I did Bible lessons with Children's Bible Ministry, or CBM, the Christian camp I worked in when I was in college. And they had a couple wonderful lessons connected with salvation and connected with what we call assurance of salvation, because that is so important for young people to grasp, and especially for children to grasp, that you can know for sure that you have a relationship with the Lord. And I remember in my mind's eye, I wish I could dig it up somewhere and show it to you, but I remember in my mind's eye an illustration of a train. And the locomotive of the train was, and on the little train was written on that, was the word fat. And then train, there was a car right behind the locomotive, and it was the word faith. And then the caboose, the last little train, the last little car on the train, was feelings. Fact, faith, feelings. And oftentimes, spiritually, we need to be reminded of those three words, and we need to connect them to our relationship with the Lord. Because sometimes people will say, I don't feel like a Christian. I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like my sins have been forgiven. I don't feel like... Now, let me ask you a question. What's driving the train? Fact is driving the train. Feelings is down here at the end. There are two words that are used in older Christian literature that help us with that. I almost titled my message today, Fact and Feelings, because that's really what we're talking about. But there are some older Christian words that speak to us about our relationship with the Lord. Here they are. They are the words union and communion. Okay? Union and communion. And so you see in your notes, biblical fellowship is based on our relationship with Christ. It can be described in these two words, union and communion. So I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. You follow along in your copy of the Scriptures. God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you have come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful. Isn't it interesting that that was the first song we heard this morning? God is faithful. By whom you were called to the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The fellowship of His Son. That is the relationship that we want to talk about this morning, because it is the foundation, the basis of all Christian fellowship, of all biblical fellowship. It is our common relationship with Jesus Christ. So, how can I understand my relationship? Enjoy it, and some of you don't. And you have been in, you have seen on television different ball games, you know, where they have the kiss cam, you know. We might come up with a sing cam, and just when you least expect it, you'll see somebody's face. Or you might see somebody singing as unto the Lord, but our worship is so valuable this morning. And I'm teasing a little bit, but it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. We invite your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we began a series last Sunday, What a Fellowship. And we are looking at the Bible word that is the Greek word in the Scriptures in the New Testament is the word koinonia. Koinonia. It basically means to share with, to have common with. Christian context, fellowship is such a powerful word. And we reminded you last week that fellowship is based, Christian fellowship, biblical fellowship, is based on a common relationship with Christ. And so what I want to do today is I want us to kind of focus on that relationship with Christ. Years ago, I did Bible lessons with Children's Bible Ministry, or CBM, the Christian camp I worked in when I was in college. And they had a couple wonderful lessons connected with salvation and connected with what we call assurance of salvation, because that is so important for young people to grasp, and especially for children to grasp, that you can know for sure that you have a relationship with the Lord. And I remember in my mind's eye, I wish I could dig it up somewhere and show it to you, but I remember in my mind's eye an illustration of a train. And the locomotive of the train was, and on the little train was written on that, was the word fat. And then there was a car right behind the locomotive, and it was the word faith. And then the caboose, the last little train, the last little car on the train, was feelings. Fact, faith, feelings. And oftentimes, spiritually, we need to be reminded of those three words, and we need to connect them to our relationship with the Lord. Because sometimes people will say, I don't feel like a Christian. I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like my sins have been forgiven. I don't feel like... Now, let me ask you a question. What's driving the train? Fact is driving the train. Feelings is down here at the end. There are two words that are used in older Christian literature that help us with that. I almost titled my message today, Fact and Feelings, because that's really what we're talking about. But there are some older Christian words that speak to us about our relationship with the Lord. Here they are. They are the words union and communion. Okay? Union and communion. And so you see in your notes, biblical fellowship is based on our relationship with Christ. It can be described in these two words, union and communion. So I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. You follow along in your copy of the Scriptures. God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you have come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful, Isn't it interesting that that was the first song we heard this morning? God is faithful. By whom you were called to the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The fellowship of His Son. That is the relationship that we want to talk about this morning, because it is the foundation, the basis of all Christian fellowship, of all biblical fellowship. It is our common relationship with Jesus Christ. So, how can I understand my relationship with Christ? Well, the first word is the word union. And so, we will speak the word union, and union with Christ is the objective fact of our relationship with Him. The objective fact of our relationship with Him. Now, you can know about a relationship, can't you? I used this illustration a couple weeks ago. I know that I am married to Teresa. If anybody ever asks me, "Are you married?" and I say, "I don't know." If my wife hears me, I'm going to get knocked upside the head, you know? No, not really, but at least you won't see it. But anyway, I know that I am married to Teresa. Why? Because I was there the day we got married. I remember it. I remember it like it was 25 years ago. Wait a minute, it was 25 years ago, but I was there. That relationship I am sure of. You can use any biological family relationship. You can use any family relationship. I know they're my brother. I know they're my sister. Why? Because I grew up with them. I was there when they came home from the hospital. I know that they are my mom. I know that they are my dad. That relationship is an objective fact. You can go to the county office and you can pull up birth certificates and say, this child belongs to this adult. It's an objective fact. Now remember, fact is the locomotive that drives the train. We've got to understand the fact of our relationship with Christ. Now, the question is, how can I understand my relationship, or how can I understand these facts? Because, you know, there are libraries full of facts, right? So how do we understand the facts about our relationship with Christ? Now, who am I speaking to? I am speaking to those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. I'm speaking to those who, in some time in their life, they acknowledged their faith in Christ, either verbally through a prayer or a great testimony of what God has done in your heart is the waters of baptism. I'm talking about someone who knows that they have put their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have done that, there are certain facts that will help you to understand your union with Christ. Now, have I lost anybody? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, raise your hand. If you are too scared to raise your hand, raise your hand. Okay. We're in deep theological waters here, but they are blessed truths, my friends. We could do a series of messages about our union with Christ. We read from Ephesians chapter 1 today about being in Christ and how powerful those words are. In Christ our sins are forgiven. In Christ we have an inheritance. In Christ we have assurance. All these beauties. In Christ we are accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted by God because we are in Christ. Those are beautiful, beautiful truths. But let us focus on our passage here in 1 Corinthians. Our union with Christ is several things. Union with Christ, relationship with Christ, that we know Him. Here's the first thing I want us to remember. It is based on the grace of God. The grace of God. When I prayed this morning, I said, Lord, forgive us for trying to put forth our own effort to have a relationship with You. There are many in our world today who think, well, if I put a little more money in the offering, if I get a little more involved in church, if I'm a little nicer to my neighbor, then I am earning merits with God the Father. And when I die, well, somehow, some way, the scales will balance out, the good will outweigh the bad. And let me tell you something, that is wrong. That's wrong. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how many good things you do, it will never be good enough to meet the righteous, holy demands of God. You are separated this morning. If you don't know Christ, you are separated from God because of your sin. Now, maybe you've heard guys before, maybe you have seen on television, some people love to preach about sin and being separated from God, but oftentimes that's where they leave you. You're a sinner! Let's close in prayer. You're separated from God! Okay, it's time for lunch. That truth is true. We are separated from God. We are sinners. But grace of God is available to us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I'm pointing my finger. I'm not saying like you, I'm saying like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was spiritually blind, but now I see. Why? Because of God's amazing grace. It's not what you do, it's what God has done through His grace. Have you heard this expression before? Grace is God's riches given to us at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Can you earn a gift? We can preach a message on the theology of Santa Claus. You better watch. You better not cry, right? You better be good or you're going to get a lump of coal in your stocking. That's Santa Claus theology, and that's wrong. Our relationship with God is not based on us being good, it's based on God being good. Amen? And it's based on God making His gift of eternal life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, available to you and to me who are lost, wretched, blind sinners. You don't work for a gift. If you work for a gift, you know what it is? It's wages. Now, wait a minute. We just quoted a verse. For the wages of what? Sin is what? Death. Do I want to work for anything? Absolutely not. Well, no, I don't want to work for a spiritual thing. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. I don't want to get what I deserve. I want to be spared from what I deserve. Amen? By God's grace, He gives to us eternal life. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we're going to get to it in a minute, but the fact of our union with Christ is based on the grace of God. And aren't you thankful that God is full of grace? So when we think about salvation and we think about our relationship with the Lord, we are reminded, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful today for the grace of God. It is based on another fact. Our union with Christ is based on, and I put little quotes around this, the testimony of Christ. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. That is the fact, God's grace, but that little phrase there, the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, that is your testimony of putting your faith in Christ. You've got to believe in Christ. You've got to put your trust in Christ. Lay aside your own good works. Lay aside your own expectations. Remember what Christ did for you on the cross and say, I can't do it myself. Lord, I'm depending on you. And I put my trust in you. And I'm thankful for what you have done. And you put your trust in Christ. We use the word testimony here. I do believe that every Christian in some fashion should be able to share a testimony of when they came to know Christ. I shared with our deacons this morning, I said, some people are in great distress when I say, will you share a testimony with us? They'll say, well, Pastor, I don't remember the date that I got saved. Well, you don't need to say April 5th, whatever year. But you probably can tell a story about what God did in your life to bring you to the place of putting your faith in Christ. For many in this room today, it was I had Christian parents. And they brought me to church. And I was under the sound of the gospel. I heard it every week. And there came a time in my life when I began to ask questions about eternal life and forgiveness and what Christ had done for me. And when I was a little boy, 4 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old, 10 years old, when I was a child because of the witness of my parents, I put my faith in Christ. And isn't it wonderful when children come to know Christ? And they know what they've done. And they put their faith in Christ. That's a beautiful thing. And they have a whole life now to invest in serving the Lord. They have a whole life that they can be obedient to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when a child or a young person puts their faith in Christ. But you know what? Looking at this room, some of you were saved as adults. And I love hearing those testimonies. You know, I was a rascal. You can fill in the blank whatever rascal means. I was a rascal and there was this Christian friend at work who would invite me to church, and I would get mad every time he invited me to church. And every break time he was reading his Bible, and every break time he would say to me, did you know God loves you? And I would get mad at that. Well, one day, just to shut him up, I went to church with him. I've heard this testimony before. And the preacher preached, and I thought, that guy told him all about me. And as an adult, 30, 40, 50 years old, as an adult, when the invitation was given, responded, and they said, I don't know what to do, and somebody opened the Bible and helped them put their faith in Christ, explained the gospel to them, and their life from that point on was different because of the grace of God and because of the testimony of Christ in them. I've had the privilege of leading senior adults to the Lord. Sometimes in a nursing home, sometimes in a hospital, sometimes in a home. You know, they visited the church and whatever, and I just ask a couple questions, and they're all confused about the gospel, like we talked about. They think you have to be good, and you know, they'll start to tell me things they've done, and I've got to be nice and say, sorry, not good enough. You know, I've got to tell them about sin and share the gospel with them. And I always love asking the question, would you like to pray now and ask the Lord to save you? Would you like to put your trust in Christ? And I love the little smile on the face when they say, yeah, Pastor, I'd like to do that. And we've had the privilege of leading people to Christ. You might not know the date, but you've got a story to tell. Can I remind you of that? You might not know the date, but you've got a story to tell. And it might be a Christian friend, it might be Christian parents, it might be a church in the neighborhood. Whatever the circumstances were, God brought all that together because He loves you and because of His grace, and you put your faith in Christ. Isn't that exciting? That God has given you a testimony. The testimony of Christ in you. Paul said to the church, boy, they had a lot of problems, but he said, I'm thankful for the testimony of Christ in you. You have trusted in Christ. Union with Christ is based on something else, and we see it in verse 9. God is faithful. Our union with Christ is based on the faithfulness of God. Even when I am not faithful, He remains faithful. Amen? Now, I know that there are parents in our world, and you see it on the news, abusive parents and so forth, but does any normal, loving parent, when their child sins, when their child disobeys, when their child doesn't do well on a spelling test, do they say to that child, "That's it. You're not my child anymore"? No. They might, discipline might be involved, you know, whatever the circumstances might be. But a child in a loving family has the assurance that mom and dad love me. And I'm part of this family. And I know I might mess up, and I know I might not do as good well as I should in school and so forth, but I know that I'm part of this family. Aren't you glad that God is faithful to you? God is faithful to you. And so this whole message of the gospel, this whole message of union with Christ is not based on what we have done. We've seen that. It's the grace of God. It's not based on what other people say. It's based on our testimony in Christ. And it is based on the faithfulness of God. And Paul says this, "By whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." And these verses speak to us of assurance. "Confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Because you are saved, because you have put your faith in Christ, because you are thankful for the grace of God, you will be blameless at the day of Jesus Christ. When the Lord returns, we belong to Him. Amen? We belong to Him, and we have that confidence. We have that assurance. We are in Christ, our relationship with Him. Now, friends, that should just thrill our hearts. And like I said, we could preach a lot more about the assurance of our salvation. You know, can we mess up so badly after we are a Christian, after we have truly put our faith in Christ, that we lose our salvation? Well, then we were never part of the family of God to begin with, right? Because if we belong to God, God is faithful. "No man is able to pluck them out of my hand," God the Father said, of Jesus the Good Shepherd. Oh, they might wander. This might happen. That might happen. But no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because God is faithful. Wow. You know how Martha sometimes says to me, she says, "We've got to transition between this song and this song." And sometimes it's a key change, sometimes it's an emphasis. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world am I going to transition from union with Christ to communion with Christ? Well, here's how we're going to do it. Everybody take a deep breath. Okay, now here's my second sermon for today. Okay? Union with Christ speaks of the fact of our relationship with God. It is based on the grace of God. It is based on the testimony of Christ that we give when we put our faith in Christ. It is based on the faithfulness of God. We can know that we know that we know that we're going to heaven. Do you know you can have a relationship with somebody? I don't know if you've ever, I've found this in my pastoral ministry. Have you ever heard this expression before? "I have a good relationship with my kids." Have you heard that before? Have you ever heard this expression before? "I have a good relationship with my husband." Everybody look at Teresa. Music cam, you know. I have a good relationship with my husband. I have a good relationship with my wife. Yeah. You see, you can have a relationship, but the quality of that relationship might vary over time. The fact is there. The train is moving. The relationship is true. It's a fact. But it can be good. It can be strong. It can be weak. It can be whatever. And here's the interesting thing. I think that as we live our Christian lives, the experience of our relationship with Christ kind of goes up and down, doesn't it? There's some days, boy, I feel saved. I feel like a Christian. I feel like God loves me. I feel like God's hearing my prayers. I feel like I can go out and witness to somebody. I just feel it. Now, where's the feelings? Fact, faith. So do we base our life on feelings? No, because if you feel great one day, there's a good chance that you, what, the next day? You might not the next day, right? You might wake up and say, oh, I don't feel like a Christian today. Oh, I don't feel like God's hearing my prayers. Oh, I don't feel like... And your feeling expresses your relationship with the Lord. This is what we call our communion with Christ. Communion with Christ is the subjective experience of our relationship with Him. Objective fact, subjective experience, okay? Fact, faith, and feelings. Now, I was going to turn to a passage of Scripture, but I got distracted. Psalm 27, let me just read a couple verses to you, and these words are familiar to you. Verse 4, the heart of the psalmist. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This is the heart of David, the heart of the psalmist, who is the man after God's own heart. And you'll read this in other psalms too. My soul longs for you. My soul desires after you. But this passage of Scripture says, one thing will I seek. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, that I may inquire in His temple. All of those things demonstrate to us the experience of His relationship with the Lord. Now, I hope I can help you just a little bit today. And know that your pastor has not arrived, okay? Spiritually, I'm not there. Spiritually, I'm still running the race right next to you. We're running toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But through the years, I have found some things that are very practical that have helped me in my relationship with the Lord. Let me just give you a silly illustration to start with. My wife and I saw a little article on Facebook, and it talked about how to have a good marriage. Now, most of those things are not great. Well, one of the things is you should hug your spouse for 30 seconds a day. 30 seconds. I told that to a pastor friend of mine, and he said, is that all? I told it to somebody else, and they said, 30 seconds? That's a long time, 30 seconds. You mean you have to hug them for 30 seconds? You got to touch them for 30 seconds? So we've been having a little bit of fun in our living room in front of our kids, hugging and counting out loud, and sometimes I if we're on 10, I back up to 7, you know, just to hug a little bit longer and all of that. But that's a practical way, according to that little article, to build and strengthen your relationship with God. I think there are some practical ways that we see in Scripture that will help us have a good relationship with God. Now, it's already based on fact, okay? You already know the Lord. You're already a Christian. So you're not earning your way to heaven. You're not earning favor with God. But you want to have a good relationship with Him. I thought things, and you can look on your notes there, morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night, okay? In the morning, let me encourage you, start your day with the Lord. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to do that. That's up to you. You start your day with the Lord. Sometimes I get up and have a cup of coffee, and I drink my cup of coffee. I watch a little bit of news, time for a shower. Sometimes I pray in the shower. But early in the morning, when I'm going through all my preparation, I'm thinking about the Lord. And I'm thinking about what He's done. Then I get to the office and it's quiet. Usually I'm the first one here and I have a little bit of quiet time in my office. I'm able to read the Scriptures, able to pray, and start your day with the Lord. Now, you might have to make an effort to do this. If this is not already a pattern in your life, you might have to make an effort to do this. You might have to, well, I already have a schedule and it takes me so long to get ready and I've got to hit the road, I've got to get the kids to school, got to get to work. You might already, you know what? You might have to get up 15 minutes earlier. Uh-oh, Pastor just stepped on somebody's toes. There's a lot of things in life that you can't control, but you know what? One of the things you can control is what time you go to bed and what time you wake up. Most of you. Some of you are asleep now. Wake up! But I want to say to you, start your day with the Lord. Is there a biblical, well, David said it. David said, in the morning, I will seek you. Early in the morning, I will seek you. Jesus is our pattern. Remember reading the Gospels? The Bible says, a great while before day, Jesus got up early in the morning and went off by himself to pray. Now again, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm not going to tell you what time to do it. But let me challenge you. Start your day with the Lord. It will help you in your relationship with the Lord. We make daily breads available to you. That little booklet has devotionals in it. You can read a passage of Scripture. You can read the little devotional. It's got a thought. You can pray for a few minutes, and you will have started your day with the Lord. Morning, noon. Now, that could mean lunchtime, and that's very important to all of us, right? Could mean lunchtime, but I think it's more this. Let me say this. Noon, continue all day with the Lord. I think some people have mastered the start the day with the Lord. It is part of their ritual. They get up, read two verses, pray, check it off, and they go to work and they don't think about God till Sunday. That is not what the Lord desires. Now, I don't know why this is true confession time, but I think about my wife a lot. That's a good thing, right? So in the middle of the day, we'll either text each other or call each other. Why? Because we're thinking about each other. Now, if that's true in an earthly relationship, how much more should it be true in our relationship with the Lord? Continue through the day with the Lord. Now, how do you do that? Well, I would just suggest to you this. Think about the Word of God. It might mean Scripture memory. You know, Lord gives you a verse in your devotional time when you're starting the day with the Lord. Write it down on a card. Put it on the mirror. Put it on your dashboard. Put it in your heart so that any time during the day you can turn your thoughts to the Lord. You can think about Him. We live in a culture where there's a lot of waiting, isn't there? You end up waiting at a red light. Now, don't pull open your big Bible at a red light. But you can certainly think about the Lord at the red light, right? Instead of thinking about the person in front of you is not going as fast as they should, you can stop and think about the Lord. Doctor's office, oh, they've got those old magazines. Oh, they've got a current issue with some great pictures in it of my family. If you've seen that article in some of the doctor's offices. But most of the magazines are old. Why don't you carry a little New Testament with you? Why don't you have a Bible on your phone or on your iPad or on your tablet? And in those waiting moments, turn to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Read God's word. Be part of your life. If you work, lunchtime's a great time to turn to the Lord. Just you know, pull out the daily bread again if you want to. Pull out your New Testament again if you want to. If you have a Christian friend, enjoy Christian fellowship. Hey, what's your pastor preaching about at his church? What are you learning at your church? Talk to somebody about the Lord. But those things can turn your heart to the Lord. And so my challenge to you is this. Start your day with the Lord, but continue all day with the Lord. The Bible calls that walking by faith. Walking by faith. One foot in front of the other, continuing with the Lord. Morning, noon, what's next? Night. I just want to challenge you. End your day with the Lord. Close your day with the Lord. Not end your day like die, but close your day with the Lord. It might be reviewing God's blessings in your life for that day. Lord, thank you for what I learned this morning when I read your word. Lord, thank you for that Christian friend that encouraged me at lunch today. Lord, thank you for meeting that need in the life of my family. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that I had to witness to a friend, whatever it might be. But as you lay your head on your pillow at night, may your last thoughts be of God's blessing in your life. Amen. Oftentimes people go to bed with a troubled heart. They're thinking about the doctor. They're thinking about the bank account. They're thinking about their friend. They're thinking about this problem and that problem. And they're stirring and they're fretting. Oh, friends, calm your heart for the glory of God. Thank Him. Praise Him. Pray to Him. I think it's great to close your day in prayer. Pray in the family context with your spouse, pray. But when it's just you and your pillow, pray. Close your day with the Lord. Now, if all of those things are new to you, I'll just warn you. The devil will fight you this week if you try to do those three things. If you try to read your Bible in the morning, your alarm clock's going to not work. If you try to read your Bible in the morning, there's a good chance you'll have a flat tire when you go out and you're ready to go to work. Well, Pastor, I'm not reading my Bible then. What I'm saying to you is it is a spiritual battle. And if you try to develop your relationship with the Lord and grow in your walk with Him, the devil's not going to be happy because you're going to be stronger and you're going to be more effective. Him. You're going to be able to share your faith with others. You're going to be able to get involved in ministry here. You're going to be able to pray and see your prayers answered. Do you think the devil wants that? No, he's going to do everything he can to distract you. Starting your day, middle of the day, circumstances will try to take your thoughts and minds away from the Lord. Closing your day, oh, you'll be so troubled about whatever happened during the day, you'll have a hard time even thinking about the Lord before you go to bed at night. Listen, I want to say to you, do it anyway. Morning, noon, and night. Start with God. Continue with God. Close your day with the Lord. And your communion with Christ will be sweet as the days go by. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to study together, and even just being together on a Sunday morning is an encouragement to us. Thank you for the wonderful truth of Scripture of our union with Christ. When we put our faith in Christ, that is a secure relationship based on the grace of God, based on our testimony of faith, based on the faithfulness of God, and we're thankful that that is an anchor for our souls today. Lord, as Pastor of Southside Baptist Church, I pray today for our church family. Those that are already faithful in communion with you, we are so thankful for them. Those that who have made it part of their daily routine to start the day with you and to continue with you, close the day with you, we're thankful for those who have a strong, good relationship with you. But Father, we realize that people are on different levels of their spiritual growth, and there are probably some here today who have not done that. They have not experienced communion with Christ. They don't know what it means to start the day with you. They don't know what it means to think about you during the day. They don't know what it means to close their day with prayer. Lord, I pray that this week, You will speak to their hearts, and I pray that they will experience the wonderful blessing of communion with You. Strengthen their walk with You, and may their relationship be strengthened in the days ahead. Now, Father, we're going to sing, and if there's anybody here today that doesn't know You, I pray that You'll give them courage to step out from their seats and settle the fact of their relationship with You, and then move ahead into the feeling, the communion of their relationship. We love You and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? If you have a spiritual need this morning, if you don't know Christ, we certainly invite you to come. We'd love to tell you how you can be saved. If you are a Christian, we invite you to use the front steps here as an altar. Maybe you need to rededicate yourself to something in prayer for you. But the invitation is for you. We invite you to come as we sing.
I think you want to sing some more sowing.
Amen. We should have just stopped and sung that right in the middle of the sermon. That would have been great, but I could tell you got it. You know how great. Nikki, come on over here, and I just want you to know she is terrified right now. This is Becky Jenkins. She is coming for membership. She met with our deacons this morning and gave a clear testimony of knowing Christ as her Savior, and even through her experience as an adult, rededicating her life to the Lord. And on the basis of that, our deacons are recommending her for membership. Now, let me just say one more thing. She is here because of the ladies' outreach of our church, the simulcast this past fall that we had. And then she came, and then she got connected to our King's Daughters Sunday School class. And she said, Pastor, I just love the fellowship. Amen? The fellowship that I enjoy in class and in the church and what God is doing. And so it is a wonderful thing. On the basis of her testimony of faith in Christ and baptism by immersion, our deacons are recommending Becky Jenkins for membership this morning. Motion? Marge, a whole bunch of people made the motion. Actually, I'll say Irene Goldie, because they're in the same Sunday school class. And second... Lee, Sebesta, made the second. All in favor, amen.
Amen.
Good. I almost made some smart aleck remark, but I won't do that. We are so glad that God is blessing our church, amen?
Amen.
And He's blessing us with wonderful people. Go ahead, that's all right, that's all right. We're thankful that God is blessing our church. David Ripley's going to come and lead us in prayer as one of our deacons. And after he closes in prayer, you can stand here for a minute, can't you? Yeah, she will. She'll be fine. I'd like for you to come and greet Becky and welcome her to our church family, okay? Dave, close us in prayer this morning.